It was Bolus who was the first to speak. His jowls flapped up and down, and his black eyes stared hard at each of his fellow devil kind to enforce his point of view.
"It was Volkar's stupidity that led to our current situation. We must reorganize our forces and attack immediately."
Hermalia was hard-pressed to hold her tongue at Bolus's insult of her now-dead master.
"We might as well surrender now. If we follow you, the stewardship our forces require a finer hand than that in the club you would employ,"
Walsa said as she turned her reptilian yellow eyes upon Bolus. With her words uttered, violence was on the edge of erupting in the chambers, and all five devils glared at one another, almost daring the other to attack. Just before that violence was about to explode, a small spark of red energy pulsated in the middle of the fray, and all ceased their actions. The red energy hurriedly formed itself into the persona of Lord Scalamon, and when his gaze previewed the assemblage of his servants, he said,
"Should this gathering tell me that you have completed the task I set for before you, or should I suppose something else entirely?"
Each devil fell to his or her knees in deference to Lord Scalamon's supremacy over them, yet none were swift in response to their lord's questioning.
"You think me foolish that I don't already know your failure? Your incompetence is laid bare for me to see."
Each devil fell to his or her knees in deference to Lord Scalamon's supremacy over them, yet none were swift in response to their lord's question.
"My lord,"
Coltman tried to utter, but with a stare he was blown off his knees and slammed into a wall.
"I did not give you or anyone else permission to speak,"
Lord Scalamon yelled. As he spoke the words, his image grew in size and magnificence.
"Volkar has failed me, and that displeasure will be dealt with. But his obligation now falls to all of you. Reorganize my forces and assault this whore's fortress. Bring me her head, her heart, and the rest cut into small pieces,"
Lord Scalamon said. All in the chamber uttered their acknowledgement by voicing in unison,
"Yes, my lord."
Tentatively, Coltman raised his hand to speak as he once again prostrated himself before his lord's image. He asked,
"Who is to have the honor of leading, my lord?"
"Do not waste time with inconsequential matters,"
Lord Scalamon uttered as he disappeared from their sight. When he was gone, they all knew what his statement meant. For weakness was not to be tolerated. Only the strong and cunning could lead. There was finally a sense of quiet as the day was taken by dusk, and death struggled to continue to have its due. But the priests and healers of Sovereign Mathis were determined not to allow any more of their sisters and brothers to fall to that eternal rest. One of those who saved felt as though he was shrouded by darkness. Slowly, it lifted, and darkness was exchanged for gray, and gradually whiteness took charge. At first, his eyes were fully open to crudely formed shapes, but increasingly, they became crisp in their composition. Soon, sound followed its companion. Sense of sight, and then pain made its entrance. That terrible and unwanted sense. But it let you know you were still alive. When he looked up, he saw his friend Sir Corwin standing at his bedside with a grin plastered on his face.
"By my goddess, I don't think there is a part of me that doesn't hurt,"
Battlezar Sosar struggled to say.
"It is good to see you awake, my brother. I wasn't sure you would survive what that abomination had done to you,"
Sir Corwin said.
"With the way I feel, I'm sure you're only speaking to the walking dead at this moment,"
Battlezar Sosar said with a degree of humor. There was a moment of silence between the two men as Sir Corwin lowered his head in an almost sorrowful way which belied his normal jovial nature. Looking at his friend, it was Battlezar Sosar who broke the moment of stillness.
"Did I lose both the legs? I can still feel them,"
Battlezar Sosar asked.
"Yes, but they will be able to regenerate them. The healers are sure of that,"
Sir Corwin uttered optimistically. "Do not doubt Sir Corwin's words, my brother, because I have been told no less," Sovereign Mathis said as she walked up to the two men. Sir Corwin stood upon seeing his liege, and even Battlezar Sosar attempted to raise his body in respect.
"Please, both of you be at ease, and forgive my intrusion on a private conversation," Sovereign Mathis said.